Thank you for checking out Random Musings from the Clinical Trials Guru. It really means a lot to me that you're listening to this podcast. If you listen and you like the content, then make sure you subscribe, make sure you leave a review. Please do that. And also go check me out on some of my other platforms. I have a long-running YouTube channel. I've got a blog, theclinicaltrialsguru.com. If you're interested in becoming a CRA or you're interested in getting a career in this industry, go to thecraacademy.com. If you're a research site owner interested in getting more studies for your site or negotiating better contracts for your site, go to my blog, theclinicaltrialsguru.com, and check it out. I offer consulting services. If you're a pharma, biotech, life sciences company, a CRO, I own a startup CRO, and we're here to help you, whatever it is you want. If you're a CRO, we can white label a lot of services for you. We have CRA coverage across the country at cost. We can do this at scale. If you're a pharma company, we are a full service CRO, and we're very confident in our pricing, and we are extremely competitive at bidding. And if you're also interested in your own digital marketing and leveraging a podcast maybe for yourself, reach out to me, dan@theclinicaltrialsguru.com. Again, thank you very much and enjoy the show.
Guru Nation, welcome to episode 148, Monica, of my podcast, Random Musings from the Clinical Trials Guru. This is also going to go on YouTube. It's been a busy week. Been in LA more times last week than I was here. 4 out of 5 days in LA, I think. Yeah.
Yes.
4 out of 6 in LA, if you count Saturday. So, 148. What's been new with you since I've been gone? What's going on? We got a closeout visit?
We had a closeout visit. We have scheduled one pre-selection visit. And we have site initiation visit.
So we have SSV.
We have another closeout visit.
Another one?
Yeah.
With RPI? Or with a less friendly PI? Former?
Yes.
But I hear he's more friendly now.
Yeah.
Yeah? Good luck to him. So you've been doing videos in Spanish.
Yes, I have.
So what's been going on there? What inspired you to do this?
Well, it is obviously you.
Yeah. Okay. But really, like, why? Because you've been working for me for 4 years. So you finally decided to do it now? The time felt good? It felt comfortable, or it's always something you wanted to do?
I feel more comfortable now, and not just, I mean, obviously because of that, but the main reason is because in Spanish, there are not much information for people.
It's a huge opportunity.
And then on top of that, it's not just, not even just in United States, in general, in the world, people need to get more educated about research. People need to get more educated about, in every single way, like in a professional to get in the industry, and also...
Yeah, if you did Spanish for that, like, that would be amazing. And we actually have a friend of the show, who we've interviewed before, from Colombia. He's like a thought leader in here as well, but in Colombia, he's like, everybody knows him in the research world. So if you can do something like that in Spanish...
Yeah.
For patients and for other researchers.
Yeah, that's exactly.
That would be amazing.
So that's the idea. I want to spread the word and explain more, like in an easy way, and also more information about research for both, for the researchers and for people in general, because we don't really have the information available, and a lot of people don't really know what is research, and maybe they are losing a great opportunity to get top of the line kind of treatments.
So you're doing that through the clinical scoop?
Yes.
And have Latinos been more receptive to research when they understand it?
I think in general, most of the cultures or the population are more open to research once they understand. And not just research, things in general. When you understand something, you get more open to it, or you have your own ideas about it.
Yeah.
But if it's, and I, what I'm trying to say is, like, people in general have a negative idea about research. They don't really know how it works.
Yeah, if they've never done it.
Until somebody explain it.
Yeah. So that's what you're going to be doing for, that's good. I mean, that's what we're trying to do with the Clinical Scoop for Alzheimer's. Now you're doing that with Spanish, just general awareness for Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
It's a separate blog on the Clinical Scoop. So that's good. So last week we had a closeout.
Yes.
Any, how did that go? Smooth?
Very, very good.
Any advice for people watching, maybe never done a closeout visit? Research sites? What should the research sites expect?
I think the most important thing is to have a great relationship with your CRA. Once you have a good relationship with your CRA, you work smoothly.
Ah, I got something good to tell you. I'm glad we do these meetings in public. I did a monitoring visit. I told Chris, we did a podcast on this, but I wanted to tell you, but I'm sure you do it already. One of my sites that I monitor, they're very good, okay? When I get there as the CRA, okay, the coordinator, when I sit down, like the first 2 minutes, coordinator tells me from all my previous letters, all my action items, what's the status.
Mm-hmm.
So it saves me like half an hour.
Yeah.
Because you have the letters, the follow-up letters.
Yes.
So all those things you've got to fix, the monitor, when they come in, the first thing they do is look at those things. So if you as the coordinator can give them that rundown, and then you have a chance to say why you didn't fix something, instead of the monitor getting angry and asking you.
Yeah.
You can explain yourself before they even see it. We need to do that here, unless you already do.
No, I actually do my best to have absolutely everything done by the time the CRA comes, because, I mean, you have enough time to organize everything, unless it's something that is out of your hands, but still.
So for this closeout visit, you got a confirmation letter?
Yes, I
did. And then it asked you to do certain things?
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the things? Because some people watching or listening have no idea.
I think, like I say, the most important thing is to have a good relationship with the CRA. And
so how do you do
to
that?
To know.
How does Monica do that?
Well, I like to have a clear communication. And it's always friendly without going outside your professional scope, you know.
What do you mean by that?
And like, it's nice to be nice with people in general, but if you're working in the professional world, you don't want to be so much, like, friendly but not crossing the line.
Mm-hmm.
That is, you know.
I see.
I don't know how to explain that.
Do you feed them?
Sometimes I do when they spend, or I offer them,
them.
I'm going to go and get something, would you like?
They usually don't want it, right? Or sometimes they do.
I will say 50-50.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never been offered. Okay, so what were some of the things, this is for a closeout visit, what were some of the things in the letter that you had to work on before your visit?
They wanted me to organize, I mean, they sent all the documentation. They sent in a letter what the documentation is going to be done, and how's, and from what time to what time the doctor need to be in the closeout visit. So what I try to do is, prior to the CRA to come, I organize all the regulatory and all the binders, and I have ready the documentation on the site, so they will have everything just ready, you know.
So everything's there, it's done. How long was the visit?
It took us like an hour and a half.
That's it?
Yeah.
And then the PI came? Or the PI came in that time?
No, they left the documentation for the PI to be signed.
Okay.
Because they gave us this visit like, it was a short notice.
Yeah.
And they really wanted to do it with or without the PI presence.
Okay. Yeah, so Chris and I were talking about sites, how to make a good impact on your monitor. And it's pretty much like you want to do decent work and be pleasant at the same time.
Yeah. The other thing they like is when you answer them their emails or whatever they request straight away, whether you have the information or not. So if I receive an email, I just make them aware that I actually received the email, and I answer them, and I will tell them, look, in a period of this time, I will answer or I will send you whatever you request.
So in this period of time, this is when I expect to do this.
Yeah.
Something like that.
And if in the case it is taking me longer, I will let them know. So they don't feel that I'm ignoring them or I'm telling them I'm lying to them.
Did you close it out with the IRB?
Yes, that was the first thing, yeah.
Was it the first time you did that?
No.
No?
No.
Okay. And they tell you to do it?
They ask you to do it when they send you the letter.
Year?
Yeah. That's the probably one of the first things.
So you went online and you found the form and you did it online, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to fax it anymore?
No.
When I used to coordinate, you had to fax it.
Yeah, I actually send it to them to make sure everything is, correct.
Yeah.
And then as soon as I get the deadline, then I send it.
So now we've got, what do we have? SSV.
Mm-hmm.
A site selection visit. We have a site initiation visit.
Yes.
Which one is that? Which indication is
this? It's schizophrenia.
Oh, is that the one you're going to Texas?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So the SIV is going to be before you go to Texas?
No.
After? After.
Mm-hmm. 1 week after.
Okay. And then we can start screening.
Yes.
So in June we can start screening. Mm-hmm. We're going to kill it with that study.
Yeah.
You already have a bunch of patients?
Yeah.
I have a bunch too.
Yeah.
I have a bunch lined up.
Yeah.
Now we're in a place where we can get them. I talked to the CEO of the hospital. The original two psychiatrists are not interested, but there's another one who wants to. He has his own private practice already, but he wants to do some kind of infusion here. One day a week on his patients.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so we can get him involved too, refer patients. Basically, what I tell the sites all the time is however you can get, if you have a standalone research clinic and you don't have a PI with a private practice in your facility, which we used to have this, but now we moved, now our PI's office, it has a big private practice, is not associated with our clinical research site. So we need to have other practitioners come in, get the traffic going for the patients, right? Get that additional sub-investigator on the 1572.
Yeah.
So we're trying, and we're working on a nurse practitioner also. We're actually going to have a lunch with that guy on June 5th. Oh, you're going to be in Texas. Tuesday, June 5th, I have a lunch appointment with him. You're going to be probably flying back that day. So I don't think I'm going to Texas. Okay, so we have SIV coming up. SSV, that's the one you told me to put on my calendar.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to do a tour of the hospital. Okay.
And a facility.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I think for any kind of study, whether you start starting or you're already doing it or whatever, it's always, always good to have a great relationship with the CRAs. Because if it doesn't work in this, if you don't get the study, you still have a good impression, or you still give them a good impression, and they will think about for the following study or take you into,
And for CRAs also, it pays dividends to have a good relationship with your sites.
Yeah.
Because when you need something, when there's a database lock.
Oh, totally.
How many database locks have you been involved with?
The thing is...
Any recent?
Yeah, right now.
You're in one right now?
Yeah.
So you're getting phone call every day?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's actually for one study that we're closing out.
So you're getting in a database lock right now.
Yeah.
And you're getting bombarded with queries, calls, emails.
Yes.
Is the monitor pleasant?
No. He is kind of but sometimes
that's
another thing.
What's
that
wrong
I,
with
that
this
I,
one?
The thing is, I believe when CRAs, because some of them are very nice when they call you or send you a message, but sometimes they stalk you, and that is just not very pleasant for.
What do you mean? What do they?
Because,
mean?
Like, for example, they send you an email, they call you, and then they call somebody else, the doctor, and everything in within 5 minutes. So it doesn't even give you time to read the email that they just sent.
So what should they do instead?
I mean,
because if I were a CRA, I am a CRA, but if I were a full-time CRA, I would probably do that too.
No, I don't.
Because when I need something done, I need it now.
Yeah, but if you for example, like I say, this person sent me an email, then call. And then call Chris, and then call Dr. Kellogg, like in a matter of 5 minutes. So she didn't even give me time to get into the whatever she wants, and she started making me look bad.
Oh,
so it's not nice.
That's the thing.
Okay. It's not nice, and then this study coordinator will get not very happy because like really, you just call me. Like, or send me a message 5 minutes ago and call me, and then you call everybody else.
Good advice for you, CRA.
So,
there's a lot of CRAs watching. What do you tell them? Don't be like Dan.
No, I do have to give people a little time to work, on whatever they are. If you send the email right now, and I'm... think I'm good at answering them, like this.
Have you ever not answered her email? Is that why she feels this way, or?
No.
No?
But she has always been like that.
Like neurotic?
Yeah.
I don't know this person.
So,
do I?
No.
Okay. Good. Do I get to meet her?
I think so.
Yeah?
Close out. Oh, no, you're not going to be here. It's a Tuesday.
I haven't seen a monitor here in the new office yet. Do they come in this room?
Yeah.
Okay. I haven't seen one yet.
Yeah. We have one for schizophrenia study.
Okay. So now you're doing more, so you're in the middle of database lock. We talked about closeout, site selection, database lock. We've never really talked about that, so that was good. Thank you. Sharing advice for the CRAs on how to interact with the coordinators and vice versa, how the coordinators should interact with the CRAs. And the last one, LinkedIn. So now you're active on LinkedIn. You've always had a LinkedIn, right?
Yeah, but I never really took advantage of it. Yeah.
And why? Why?
Because...
So what gave you this idea? Okay, I didn't remember why. We did a video on my phone.
Yeah.
Because I needed content for that day. I try to do every day, and then I had you in it. I didn't even tag you, I don't think.
Oh, no.
That was before, and you had a tag. I learned how to tag now.
Yeah. The idea is, it came because when, for some studies, I was thinking that, I was just like thinking, there are many people from my, community that will get benefit from whatever study. Like
Columbia?
Whether it is no in general like in
okay.
general people Latin Americans
yeah.
And then I started looking online and I didn't find much information in Spanish because being doing marketing made me think that the most important part is educating people about whatever you're working on, so that's why I decided to do it in Spanish because
you can probably attract a lot of doctors, Latino doctors, and then doctors international, like from the Spanish-speaking countries through LinkedIn. But to get patients, probably Facebook, like you've been posting on Global Clinical Trials, and then the Clinical Scoop because you're getting and YouTube because you're getting the organic search results. When someone searches something in Spanish, if you have that exact question in Spanish in your video or on your blog post, they'll find you.
Yeah, so don't be afraid to ask. We're very open to it. And If you have any doubt or if you know anybody that speaks Spanish that would like to learn more about it.
Get your friends involved. Yes. A lot of people in Miami, Texas, Arizona, Nevada, California, New York, Spanish speakers. Spanish-speaking research community is growing every day. Leaps and bounds. So, thank you, Mrs. Monica Paola Cuitiva. You did a video today?
No, I'm doing... No? I have a video to upload today.
Yeah, just upload it. You'll get better. That one's good. I don't see anything wrong with that. You do. We're always more hypercritical of ourselves. But that one was good. I didn't see anything wrong with it. So... That's it. Learn how to keep your monitors happy. They need to learn how to keep you happy. And everything's fine in the end, right?
Yeah. Everything is about good communication.
Good communication. And let's start those freaking studies. Schizophrenia study is my favorite. We will get started very soon. Thank you, Monica, for joining us on episode 148. And thank you to Guru Nation for watching and listening. And we'll catch you later. Bye-bye.
So hey everybody, thank you very much for listening to another episode of Random Musings from the Clinical Trials Guru. Again, if you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to this podcast. Make sure you leave a review, if you could be so kind, please. And also go to theclinicaltrialsguru.com if you're interested in learning more about who I am, who some of my guests are. You can have access to some of my YouTube videos. I do a lot of videos about clinical research. So go to theclinicaltrialsguru.com. And you can also call or text me anytime, 949-415-6256. Also follow me on any social media platform. It's Dan Svera. And you can also email me if you'd like, dan@theclinicaltrialsguru.com. Thank you very much.